have here. Can you kick this up just a tad, okay, so I can hear myself? It's good to be in your presence here today and enjoy some of your beautiful surrounding areas. I live only about 50 miles away, and I first met your pastor probably several years back in 2000, maybe a little bit before that. You can tell I'm from the south here a little bit with my accent, but down here long enough. But I met Scott and your beautiful, his beautiful wife several years ago. I was always intimidated with his body. Anybody ever intimidated with it? I mean, he's just so, it was just like a brick house. And he just, I thought, man, this guy has really a lot together. And I found out that he does a lot of exercise. And he really inspired me to always work out and stay healthy. How many know that he's done that for you? And he kind of pushes that way, and just an exciting thing. My background a little bit, I'm originally from New Jersey. Was raised there all my life until 18 when I first heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never heard it before. I was a good Catholic boy, and I was actually on drugs a lot at that time, so I didn't know anything. Amen. I was just out there. But I remember my first time I heard the gospel message was from my sister Rosemary, and they were like hippies. Any ex-hippies here? Anybody that was in the hippie days, you know, when we had hair and everything? But I remember them talking about Jesus. What's this Jesus stuff? You know, that Jesus. We were called Jesus. They were called Jesus freaks back then, if you remember. And how many know God doesn't make freaks? Amen. Say amen. And so I was 18 years old at the time, and I was really bad. I was into a lot of stupid stuff. And I heard the message and finally decided to come with my sister to a park in Allentown, Pennsylvania, right across from where we live in Jersey, Easton, Phillipsburg area. And I remember going to church. I had two joints in my sock, and I thought, well, heck, you know, after service I can get high, you know, it's a new thing. And I never was able to do it. I was never able to do it because the presence of God on that place was so strong. I thought everybody was high there. By the way, it's so good to have this wonderful man of God here, Brother Box, and I believe this is your daughter. It's so good. 102? Is that right? Going to be 102? Amen. Well, that's awesome. And when I came to Christ, everything changed. How many remember when they first come to Christ, everything just changed? Well, for some it doesn't. Some it's gradual. For me, it was instantaneous. It's like, boom, I was into drugs and all that other junk, and boom, no more. And then within a few months later, about a year later, the Lord called me into the ministry. I remember first when I heard it, and this is kind of introductory, because I was raised Catholic, and I remember the Lord said, I want you to go into ministry. I said, I don't want, no offense to anybody, I said, I don't want to be a priest. I want to, you know, get married and have babies and stuff like that. And so my image of the ministry at that time, because that's what I was raised with. So when I found out what it was, I went into Bible college and all that kind of things. And years later, I'm still here. That was back in August 1st, 1974, long time ago. Amen. So, I'm now several years old in the Lord, been going strong, been in Gastonia since 1985. Been there at the church since 1985, and we are just booming out, and we're so glad. But, you know, more importantly, about you here. I really wanted to connect. I really wanted to have the pull. I said, you know, is the pulpit up on a stage or down on the floor? And I'm so glad your pastor put it there. By the way, years ago, I was supposed to, I told Pastor Scott, I call him Scott. I said, Scott, I have a plexiglass pulpit that I want to give you. Okay, I felt really strong. I said, "This I'm supposed to give you this pulpit," and he said, "No, no, no, no." And son of a gun, look what he has. Come on, Scott. And another thing is, Scotland, a whole month. That's not right, Scott. Come on now. Hallelujah. I wanted to minister you from my heart today. It might not go in a direction that you think or I think, but that's okay. Amen? But it might be in a direction you think. And where you think and I think doesn't matter, but God knows where it is, and he'll help you. So I want to go to the Lord and ask him to touch us and open up our hearts so that we can really receive a fresh word from God. So it'll touch you and you'll be able to communicate it and live it and work it out in your life. You got to know where you're coming from and where you're going to go. Did anybody ever board a plane without first finding out where it was going? You want to know where we're going. Well, today I want to take you on a journey. And it's your journey. A journey that you might be wondering about. But then you're on it and you need to know what to do, how to do it, and when to get off and when to get back on. I want to minister to your heart. So, Father God, here we are. Hello, how you doing, Lord? Hope you're having a great time today as we are in you. And so, Father, we just ask you to allow me to communicate the now word that you have laid on my heart, Lord, in whatever direction that is. Whatever that is, Lord God, let me go in the direction you have and not the direction I want or anyone else wants, Lord. I thank you for it now, and I praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. I wonder, is anybody perfect here? Raise your hand if you are. Now, I'm sure you wouldn't do it because we aren't. But did you ever even get to the point that you thought everything you had was all together? Anybody there? Well, I can tell you for myself that that's not true for me either. One of the problems with Christianity, we think that we have to be perfect and have everything together before God can actually work with us. You know, services don't even get perfect sometimes, okay? We have all these issues. Life doesn't get perfect. Now, our families aren't perfect. Our job's not perfect. We're not perfect, okay? We have issues. That's why we have tissues. Amen. Hallelujah. And so sometimes we present this image that our faith was supposed to be effortless or painless or perfect before God can work with us. And that's not true. God's a whole lot bigger. He's been around a long time. He's been through every. I can't imagine the millennial and the millions and billions of years. There is no time with God, but the eternal with God. I mean, he's so awesome. And as we look at God, we need to understand that our faith has to be in connection with him too. And sometimes we think our faith has to be perfect all the time. And honestly, if you look at that, there's really no cost to that. There's no real meaning to that because it's facade. It's not perfect. And I've seen it amongst ministers a lot of times that you have to present this perfect image of what you have and everything has to be in array. And if you don't have it, then God can't work with you. You screwed up or you messed it up. And so we look at our life and we think, well, where am I? What can I do? And how can I do it? You know, we're not all perfect. I thank God that we are not. The fact is, I'm slowly coming to the point that it's okay to be messy. It's okay to be messy. Messy. It's messy. Look at that. Messy. You got stains on your, you spilled the coffee. Long as you get it in the right ear, amen, hallelujah. How many enjoyed their coffee today? Say amen. Thank God for coffee. Thank you, Jesus. But I'll tell you right now, faith is messy. And it's okay. And I want you to really relax in that because you got to get out of your stiffness. It's not real. It has to be touchable. It has to be tangible. You know, and it's messy. Everybody here, any have kids? Anybody have kids and they poo-pooed and stuff like that? That's messy. It stinks. It really does stink. Say amen to that. It really does stink. Thank God I'm a grandpa now. I don't do that stuff anymore. No more. Amen. So we have this messy faith. And what I mean by that, it's not the absence of it or the weakness of it. What I mean by that is the real life faith struggles we go through and how we do it. You know, there's so many ministers, like I said, that they present this image of perfection and that it has to be this and they're up here and you feel like you're down here. And what am I going to do and how can I ever achieve that? So we look at that, and this life is a journey. And we go through all these ups and downs, ins and outs, opens and unclosing, you know, and all that stuff. We go through the pains of life. If you lost a loved one, the pain of that. If you lost a job, the pain of if you gained a victory, the glory of that, the ins and the outs, the questions, the doubts, the imperfections, the vices that we go through. What is this all about? We look at ourselves when we look at whatever we have. Does it remain? Is it still there? Can I still be a Christian and be messy? Meaning that I'm still believing, but it's not the way I always think. It's kind of messy. We have this where we sometimes feel sure and then unsure. We feel whole and broken. We feel like we're winning and then we feel like we're losing. We feel like we're all doing it. And, you know, we wonder, could God fix all that? How many know that God can fix you? Say amen. One of the scriptures I love is in Philippians chapter 1, I think it's in verse 6, and it says, he who begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Christ. You know, he has a lot to work with. Okay? How many remember when they first started, they were really messy? And even now, as you walk with the Lord, you find out you're still messy. You still don't have it all together. You still wonder. You still wonder what it's all about. You know, we are going through life, and a lot of time life is like storms. And, you know, there's good times and there's bad times. But sometimes there's these storms, like that time where Jesus was describing the man who built his house on the sand, and then the one built his house on the stone. And I want you to understand that the one who built his house on a stone was a doer. Not do, he was a doer. This was a consistent, constant way of living for him. He lived in a way that was always in perfection. But all of a sudden, this thing called a storm came. And it beat upon the house and beat upon the house. You. And all kinds of things that, but then it says, and I think it's in Matthew chapter 7, verse 25, it says it didn't fall. And I want you to see something. That sounds kind of messy to me. Y'all had a neat storm here the past few days, haven't you? Got kind of messy. I was riding down 26, and I saw some areas were kind of closed because the water just flooded it out. Well, I bet that house had some shingles off of it. I bet it had some broken windows. Maybe it got a little flooded in the basement. It got a little messy, got some mud. I hate to clean out mud when it comes in. Don't you hate when it comes in like that and just have to shovel it out? Got to shovel it out. But here's the thing that you need to understand. It stood. It stood. It stood right there when it was all messy. It stood. It wasn't backing off. It wasn't coming off the rock. It stood right there. I love that. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10, it says, if you fall under pressure, your faith or your strength is small. I would say your faith is in the wrong person or the wrong thing. Okay? The wrong thing. You know, you can get into the place where your faith is in the wrong thing. I've seen it all the time as a pastor. Man, I see people put their faith in this, that, there, and the other. You know, and they put their faith, it knocks them out. Then they get embarrassed. You ever see people come to church and they get embarrassed? You know, because somebody, you think that somebody found out what you did. Listen, we all know what you do. We all know you got weird things. We all know you're going through issues. We all struggle through the issues. Are y'all here today? And so we have to actually look at ourselves and say, what do I do when this happens? You know, what do I do? How do I do it? You know, life isn't sometimes easy. It's hard. You have to question. You have to question all these things. You have to, sometimes you're crying out. Sometimes you're hurting. Sometimes you just don't know what to do. Anybody ever just come to that place where you just don't know what to do? I just don't know what to do. As a pastor, I beat my head. No, I don't literally do this. Beat my head against the wall. What do I do, Lord? How do you do this? You know, that's the biggest problem in the business and the family in a church. It's not, you know the why, okay? I love Jesus. You know the what. Man, I'm supposed to read my Bible and pray. But most people have the problem with how. How do you do this? What's the strategy? What's the next step? Where can I go from here? That's the how. That's your strategy. That's your process. How do you process yourself through issues where you come out successful? How do you do it in a way that you're not burned out? Anybody get burned out? Burned out. That means you just got, I don't know about this stuff anymore. And hey, I've seen people give up on Jesus because of that. Give up on church. I met some wonderful musicians. Awesome. Don't go to church anymore. You got burned out on church. Well, really, you got burned out on religion, and that's what that was. You don't get burned out, okay? If you get burned out, you got to refocus yourself back on what you need to do. I like this. Anybody ever read C.S. Lewis? Here's what he said. He said, we must lay before him what is in us, not what ought to be in us. Okay? This is what I am, Lord. The Bible says it this way. Offer yourself. Everybody, say yourself. Say it like you mean it. Yourself. That means offer yourself a living sacrifice. Okay? Here I am. You know what that sacrifice is? It's on an altar. And it's hot. And you're supposed to stay there. Come on. I'm supposed to stay on this altar? You mean I can't crawl off in the next 10 minutes and go back to my real lifestyle after church? And go on and be what I was before? Come on, you're not here or you're here. You know, I want to stay on that altar. Well, that means I'm going to be burning. You know, God loves your flesh to burn. He likes burning flesh for some reason. It just kind of turns him on, and he likes it. Okay? He likes flesh. So it's important that you understand what that is. Amen. So here are a few things why I think messy faith can actually help you. When you realize messy faith is what it is, you never are satisfied in your relationship with Jesus. You're never satisfied. And that doesn't mean you can't be, but you always come to the place, Lord, what can I do? How can I serve you better? What can I do? Lord, I don't understand right now. You're going to go through a whole lot of journeys in your walk with God. God's going to complete you. And that means what you thought you used to think will not be what you need to be. Because you'll be different. And a lot of times when you're going through this, even when I'm going with the Lord and I'm saying, Lord God, I know this, but I want to be with you. You know, I really was strong. I'm going to be real transparent with somebody. You might think I'm a real hypocrite or some kind of a heretical person. But I thought, Lord, I don't know if I want to live forever. Anybody ever think like that? I said, that's a long time. And if it's anything like what I'm going through now, you just kind of cinder me real quick. Whew. I think that would be peace. And I start to think about it. I said, if I wanted to be cindered, now here I am, okay, I'm not dumb, okay? I believe in the Bible and I know eternity. But I thought, if I'm cindered, that means maybe something's wrong. I start to think about my children. And if my children said to me, Dad, I don't want you to leave. Now think about this. I would say to them, well, I'll stay for you because I love you. Then I started to think, why am I saying that about my eternity? Are y'all here now? And I started to think, if I want to be checked out for good and then no more, now that would be kind of a peace in a way. You wouldn't have to think because it wouldn't be anything. But I thought, if I want to be checked out, that means, Lord, do I really want to be with you? Did you get it? Did you really get that? Do I really want to be with you forever? Would I want to leave you even though I might not always like what I see. How many understand what I'm saying? So I realized, I said to myself, man, I got to be in this relationship with you. I love you. And I'll show you a couple things that God showed me that kind of revolutionized my life, because this is a practical theology, a working out of your theology. When I went to seminary, we used to take our life situation and develop our life situation of our ministry, our direction. And I came from a background that was pretty hard, but all of you came from a direction, and God will use that. But what I'm trying to tell you is that this messy faith will help you say, Lord, I want my life to be with you. Even though I don't understand it, even though I don't like it, even though I might question it, even though there's good times, bad times, in times, out times, down times, every time, all the time, how do I be with you and enjoy it? That's one thing messy faith has done for me. Also, with messy faith, we take the step to continue to learn, or at least take the steps to want to learn. How do I cooperate with this with God? You know, we all have our plans. Are y'all here today? We all have our plans, but it might not be God's plan. And it takes a submitted person to say, Lord, how do I cooperate with you so I can get it done? You know, several years ago, and Scott knows this, we kind of hang a lot sometimes on the phone, and not because of distance, we are kind of away. But you know, I started praying really intently about 2006. The Lord came to me, and he said, I said, God, it's just not working. I said, man, I got all these degrees and everything, and I know the Bible, and why isn't it working? Anybody ever asked that? And the Lord said, you're just not spending enough time with me, John. I said, what do you mean, Lord? What do you mean that? I'm there studying my Bible. I'm preaching. I'm doing. Anybody ever just do? This might not be where you are, but I hope it is. And the Lord said, I want you to spend some time with me. I said, well, what do you want me to do? You know, always remember, you are what you do. And if you don't do it, then you're not that. Okay? If you think you're a painter but don't paint, then you're not a painter. If you think you're a Christian and don't do the stuff of a Christian, then you really are not. You have deceived yourself, because you're supposed to be a doer of the word. So I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to get up early, about 5. I said, 5. And I want you to get before me every day for at least a couple hours. I said, you want me to get before you a couple hours every day? I said, okay. So I made a determination that I'd do that. And ever since that time, my life has really changed. Did you know you have stuff inside of you that you don't know you have stuff in? And that he'll reveal it to you, and he'll start. You know, whenever you start to get close to God, it's not like mountaintop thing. It's like, man, I'm really rich. I need help. Because you realize what's inside of you. And that's the first step of him cleaning up your life and getting rid of the junk, the lust, the lying, the misappropriation of way you think. And God brings you through spiritual deliverance when you spend more. And I started to do that because I'm starting to. I said, Lord, I want to cooperate with you. Come on, operate. How many know that God can do operations on you? And he can take things out of you that have been there for a long time that you think that you didn't even know were there. And he'll start to reveal things to you that will make you, man, I need you, Lord. It's like Peter when he saw Jesus, he jumped out of the water, out of the boat into the, because, Lord, I'm unclean. You know, the closer you get to God, the closer it reveals who you really are. Amen. Messy faith is real, and people can recognize it and relate to it. You know, a lot of people think it has to be perfect. I used to think that that would project an image of attractiveness to people. But I found that it's not. Because a lot of times when you project this is how we do it in the Lord. And it's so good. I mean, come on. And we project this image that I have a lot of people in my church, they'll come and say, I said, would you like to do that? No, I just don't feel like I can do that. Because they look at images. and pictures and the way we perceive and present things in a way that looks so much more than what we could ever be. And we say, well, I can't do that. I believe maybe Oral Roberts can do it, it did it, and maybe Billy Graham did it, but not me. Not me. I bet there's people in this church. I know there are people in this church that say it's not me. I just can't do that. Pastor Scott can do it. Teresa can do it. They can do it, but I don't know about, I can't, I don't know if I can do that. Okay? You know, a lot of times we look at that, and what that does is it scares people away. Okay? We have to present a realness in ourselves. Hallelujah. How many want to be real here today? There's these two guys in the New Testament. They were asked by their father. This is in Matthew, I believe, chapter 21. You don't have to look it up. I like you to focus. So a lot of times we get so distracted from things. Matthew 21, where these two sons were told by the father to go to the field and work. Isn't that an interesting thing? How many have kids when you tell them to go clean up your room and come back? And the one said, you know, I'm going to go out there. And never went. And the one that said, no, came back later and went to the field and worked. Now, if you look at it, you can analyze and realize that the one had this kind of fake attitude, but the other one was struggling. Dad told me to do it. I really don't want to go. It's hot. It's 90 degrees out there. But Dad told me to do it. And then he went back and did it. You know, there's a lot of Christians that they haven't worked through their struggle to the point that they're now submitted. Did you hear that? They haven't worked through their struggle yet to the where they are now committed. What do you want me to do? How you want me to do this, Lord? So what I want you to understand about this is that it's okay to question God. He's a big God. Did you all get that? That's a powerful statement. It's okay to question. Now, and I'm not telling you in a negative sense, but he can handle it. Do you not think he went through every scenario possible with humanity? And that's only been, what, 6,000 years? Or so? Did you not think he can handle any question, any doubt, any struggle that you might have? Well, I'm the only one that's going through this. No, you're not. Matter of fact, he don't mind you struggling through things. Isn't that a wonderful statement? Okay. But he actually, and he don't mind, he doesn't actually hate you questioning him. Matter of fact, how many ever questioned their spouse? Anybody ever questioned their spouse? Look at them now and say, no, I've never questioned you before. You've questioned them, but you're still in relationship. You're still there. Thank God. How many times, I'm sure, in those years? You questioned. Maybe you said, no, we never questioned. Sure you did. You just kind of submitted. Amen. And so you got to understand, this is how we grow. We grow through struggles. I don't like it. And I'll tell you right now, I'm going to reveal something to you at the end that just kind of changed me. I'm not going to tell you yet. I'm not going to tell you yet. Okay? That just changed the way I look at things. And still now have a positive attitude. And so this is how we grow. This is how we believe. All our faults, all our mistakes, all our issues, all the things we go through, all the things we wonder what to do next, how to do it, we have these things. And God doesn't mind you questioning him. I've been a pastor for, gosh, since 1980. Before that, 1980. That's 20, 38 years. That's a long time. I have to deal with people. Would you pray for me? Say amen. Hallelujah. People are the screwiest things, aren't they, Pastor? I mean, there's nothing like people. They're all screwy. Say amen. We're all screwy. You have to deal with it. You imagine. Church is even dip. That's weird. So I asked God to help us, and he would start to reveal to me. He started to reveal to me things. I said, Lord, how do I deal with this? What do I do? And now, you know what I've noticed in my life? And I'm just speaking to you from my heart today, okay? When I get to an area where I really am questioning and wondering, Lord, I don't feel you, man. Where are you? Why? Lord, why is this week up and the next week down? Why is it in and out? Why is it up and down? Why do we go through all this? And I started questioning. I said, Lord, even the one time where I start feeling used as a pastor, you do sometimes. When you're in a ministry role, you feel used sometimes because you're always serving. There's people in this church, they're always serving. Okay? Always serving. After a while, that gets really to be hard. Okay? Always serve. I remember we have a fantastic food ministry at our church. Last year, we gave out 16 tons of food. Every week, we minister to at least 100 families outside of our church, plus our church. We just have an enormous food bank. And I'll never forget the people that came. They come every second Tuesday. Now we have it on Tuesdays and Thursday, but the second Tuesday of the month. And these are not the most desirable of Gastonia, being honest. And they would come, and a lot of them knew how to play the system. How many know what I'm talking about? They knew they had their welfare, and they had this, and they make more money than us and not do anything, some of them. Because you see them bring up in their new cars and stuff like that. I got to the point, I said, I don't want to minister to them, Lord. I don't want to do this. I said, let somebody else. I would let my staff or something do it. I said, I don't want to. I said, how do I? Now, I knew my heart. See the struggle? I wanted to minister. But I came to a point that I saw the disgusting things that we see sometimes in our society that's kind of out of order. And you can get really angry. And I said, Lord, how do I minister to people like this? And I'll never forget when he told me, this is working through your messy faith, okay? He said, don't do it for them. Do it for me, and I'll take care of them. Okay? And so I was able to go out after that, and that time where they stink. Some of them come out from the woods because they're homeless. So we feed them all, okay? And we have a really beautiful place. And they come in, and now I'm going outside like this. Hey, everybody, God loves you. You're welcome here anytime. I don't care where you are, what you pay. You know, that takes God. But you have to work through that to go to a higher height that's beyond where you are, beyond what you can think, beyond what you want. To where God works through you, where God is inside of you, where it's no longer John, it's no longer Mary, it's no longer, but it's Jesus. It's Jesus coming out of you because you're dying to self. You're dying out to the way. You realize it's messy and it's stinky and it's not right and it's not good, but you know, you're not there for yourself. You're there for the Lord. Are you here for the Lord? Okay, then show me and show him. And don't worry about what anybody else thinks. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. I always tell the people, we don't push church, okay? Church is not always fun, okay? We push, how can I make you better? How can I make you better? See, if we can make each other better, then church will be cool. Okay? But we reverse it sometimes. We think if we can just make church better, then the people will be better. Let me just tell you something. Focus on the people. Focus on who they are. Focus on reaching out and touching them, even beyond yourself where you know, man, how can I? And that's a struggle. Y'all here? Say amen. I'm not used to quietness as much, okay? Say amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I started to search through Scripture and say, Lord, what do you do? What do you do here? And sometimes I don't see you, and sometimes I don't understand. And he starts to take me through Scripture. If you spend time with Jesus, he'll take you to the right Scripture. I said, if you spend time with Jesus every day, take out time, and he'll show you the right verses. He'll lead you, or he'll tell somebody to tell you, or he'll put something in front of you. And if you're spiritually in tune enough, you'll go, oh. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 8 says this. Listen to what it says. You don't have to read it up there. It says, in this you have great joy, even though now for a while you may have to suffer or struggle various trials, so that through trial your faith, which is much greater than the value of gold, which perishes even though is tried with fire, may be proved genuine, resulting in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, anybody see Jesus walk around here lately? You love. In whom, without now seeing, you believe and are filled with an inexpressible joy. Man, sometimes I don't see Jesus, but I do see Jesus inside people. I'd see Jesus coming out of there. I never forget, I was in Long Island there, and we had R.W. Shambuck. Anybody remember R.W. Shambuck? Okay, we was in a tent meeting with him, and I never said, Bert Clendenin from Texas was there. He was one of the teachers, and he was awesome. And I'll never forget, I walked up to him, and I looked into his eyes, and I saw something that I never saw but prior to that time. I saw Jesus coming out of his eyes. Because he was so loving. He walked in, he just loved me, put his arms around me and prayed for me. And I knew what it was. You ever have those Jesus moments where it kind of, it's not the person, but it's the person in the person? Say amen. It's the person in the person, it's Jesus inside. And so God will reveal himself to you and through you if you let him. Hallelujah. And you'll begin to put this messy thing together. Hallelujah. You see, there has to be a constant. Did Jesus ever go through this? Absolutely. The thing about you have to understand about Jesus is this. He was man. He laid aside his divinity. He didn't walk like God. And while he walked like, he was walking as a man. And he had every appetite that we have. He had women around him that he could have lusted. He had food where he could have ate. He ate with the wine bibbers and the gossipers and hung out with people that were, the religious people thought, wow. But he was really, went through every kind of thing that we went through. Absolutely. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, listen to this verse. Jesus is God, this is another translation, is God's own son, but still had to suffer or struggle before he could learn what it really meant to obey God the Father. So he went through all these things. You don't think it was a struggle to deal with the intensity of sin that he had to deal with? That Satan brought his strongest weapons out against him so he would fall and fail and ruin humanity forever? He brought it to an intensity that we can't even imagine. That we wouldn't want to even go near. Aren't you thank God for Jesus? Amen. He went to that place and he went through it. But you know what? He never gave in. He never gave up. He was successful in all that he did. And because he did it, now we can do it. Say amen to that. Hallelujah. See, one of the things you got to realize is obedience is the key. Obedience is the key. Got to be faithful. Here, listen to this statement. You got to get it all in to get it all out. You got to get all in to get it all out. When you're going through all this junk inside of you, you got to get all in. You got to be committed. You got to be fully committed to what the Lord says. I'll never forget, just a few days ago, I was going through this. You know how pastors are? If attendance is good on one Sunday, they're up. And if the offering's good, that's good too. And if the altar's filled, that's wonderful. Then the next week when it goes down, poof, then we feel like, anybody ever feel like that in their life? One week it's up, one week it's down, one week it's in, one week it's out. I said, Lord, what's this all about? How can I work through this kind of scenario and not go crazy? How can I stay committed, even this messiness that I'm experiencing? And God showed me something that was so neat. It just blew my mind, and it has changed me. I started to read the book of Ecclesiastes. Anybody ever read the book of Ecclesiastes here? Awesome book. Solomon was really something else. I mean, he was the richest man, probably very handsome. He had all the wisdom. He had money out of his pockets go overflow. He had women that you and I, not we more than one, amen? More than one. All the time having these issues. Everything he wanted, he got so burned out. It said, it's all vanity. It's all junk. What's this all about? And I said, Lord, look at that person. I said, he had everything going and he was bored. I said, how can you live, Lord, when you're up and down, in and out, all those issues, good, bad? How do you live? How do you live in light of that? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, John, anybody ever God talked to you? Okay. He said, John, don't live for now. Live in now. I said, well, you're going to have to explain that one to me. And he says, when people live for now, they're living for the up and down, the things that they don't have or they do have, the up, ins, and outs, everything that they're struggling to get. They're living for it. But if you start to live now in the moment, in the time you have. Hey, we're together. I like your glasses, man. I like your smile. I like this tattoo, man. That's cool. No, seriously. That's good. I'm not trying to be mean. Okay, I have high five. Okay. But live in the moment so that I'm sure, Pastor, you have learned that. I'll never forget one of our parishioners was 100. Okay, he was 99. He was getting sick, and he learned this lesson so well that in his messy faith, he learned how to be successful. I'll never forget, 99, his name is Lloyd Clemens. He was awesome guy, World War II vet, all his stuff, memory of read up to it all his life. And he was crawling. One day he was crawling to the toilet, throwing up, laughing. He says, Lord, I'm throwing up. Going to the toilet, isn't this amazing? And listen, at 100, almost 100, that's kind of a neat thing to do, I'm sure. And everything that you're really able to do with that kind of attitude. Did you all get that? Instead of living for things, he's living in the moment, saying, here I am, I'm 99. I'm crawling on my floor like this, and I'm throwing up all the way, and I'm going to the toilet, and I'm happy. Living in my moment, and I'm enjoying my spouse. I'm enjoying being here with you today. Did you know this is the first time anybody asked me? You probably agree why now. Anybody asked me to preach in years. I'm a homie, okay? I'm just staying home all the time. But God wants you to learn how to live. Why don't you have a good time today? Why don't you learn how to have fun? Why don't you learn, man, if you don't have, you know, some of you are worried about the bills and worried about, you're going to have bills again. Okay, are they going to go away after this one? You know, you're going to have an argument with somebody, and that's the biggest thing. You know, people really are hard to get along with, but you know what? Thank God, we're having an argument here. Isn't that neat? Isn't that wonderful? We can work this out. Can you rejoice throwing up to your toilet? That'll stick with you a while. Can you be happy in your messiness and grow? Let me read this verse and I'm going to close. Guys, if you want to come up at this time with the music people. James chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. This is such an awesome verse. It's from the Message Bible. You might think, why do you treat so many translations? I just try to make it as practical as possible. Listen to what it says. Take the old prophets as your mentors. They put up with anything, went through everything, and never quit. All the time honoring God. What a gift life is to those who stay the course. You've heard, of course, of Job's, listen to this, staying power. Everybody say staying power. Say it again. Staying. Say it again. Staying. Say it real loud. Staying power. Staying power. I'm not going to be moved. Staying power. I'm standing. I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm not going backward. I'm not going to move. I'm standing. My God, the presence of God is in this place. I'm standing. I'm having staying power. Some of you need to hear this. Staying power, not being moved, not shot off. What do you have inside of you? Are you committed? Are you submitted? Are you wanting to go all the way? Are you willing to go through some stuff? Well, of Job's staying power, and you know how God brought it all together for him at the end. That's because God cares. Cares right down to the last detail. Sir, I don't know you, but my eye's been on you all service. And the Lord says you're going through a change in your life. And you haven't told anybody. In the midnight hour, you even cried. And the Lord said, I'm going to answer your prayers. I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to bring you through to the other side. Do you remember the word where the Lord said to the disciples, let us go to the other side? God's going to take you to the other side. I don't know what that means. I have no idea, and I don't know you. So that means you and God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 This fellow in the back here. Yeah, you. That's right. There's been questions in your heart. There's been things that you've been struggling with that you haven't been able to shake. And the Lord says, I love you so much. I'm going to make you able to shake off those things that have been troubling you. And I'm going to give you the strength, son, to come through. In Jesus' name. Let me flow a little bit, okay? And let me just say to you, guess what's going to happen up here? Look at me, music ministry. You're going to go through a radical change this year. It's not going to be the way you think. Listen to me. I don't do this unless it's the Lord. It's going to be different than what you saw. You're going to have a mindset that's not for you, but for them out there. The Lord's changing the mindset. Where it's not going to be for us, it's going to be for the them that are coming. How do I want to see them come? The them is the outside people that are not here today. There's going to be a change. So I want you to lift your hand toward this. This is a real hard thing. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. There it is. Bring the change that's coming. And let us be receptive to the change. We thank you, Lord. And we praise you, Lord God. Now, I want you to keep your hands up right now. Come on, all over this place. You are beautiful people. God loves you so much. Guess where we are? You're with your spouse. You're with your friends. You're in church. It's Sunday morning. And you're in the presence of God Almighty. Why don't you enjoy that and stop living for things and start living now in your moment. In the name of Jesus. And all the redeemed said, amen. God bless you guys. God bless.